Please, come into my room.
Welcome back to the Mustache Room. I'm glad you guys are here. We have another great episode with Andrew. He returns to talk about his mycology experiments as of late. He's doing spawn transfers and using popcorn and some cool stuff. We get a visit from wifey Jill. She talks about the oyster mushroom, super informative. And Andrew and I hypothesize maybe the fact that half the country, or roughly half of the country, is super pissed off is a reason for us to give new credence to mushrooms as not a panacea, but maybe a way to make people a little bit happier, right? We have some ideas. I do want to mention that we now have a functioning website for the podcast, mustacheroom.com. That's spelled MUSTASHROOM.com. We're going to continue with social media and all the other stuff that I'm missing, but mustacheroom.com, we have transcripts of the episodes, and I'll try to put more relevant content up there. This is episode 8. Enjoy the podcast. Dear God, I want to hear the stories from Doug. Doug said he's a listener of the podcast because I introduced him to him before we met, so hopefully that perpetuates. So Doug, if you're listening, you have to tell us, what did you do with the shed that was being towed by the Corvette? To be continued on that subject. So I had to introduce you to Doug via picture. Unfortunately, he couldn't stick around for the podcast. But today, other than meeting Doug, I also took an Epsom salt bath. Do you take baths?
I take cold baths.
So you do not take warm baths. You take cold baths?
Yeah, I'll usually take an ice bath. It's a great way to cure hangover if you have one. Haven't had one in quite a while, but I'll do it if I'm really sore. You know, I'll do it for most of those type of reasons.
So what do? You fill up the bath with, like, ice, or do you just go as cold as the faucet will let you?
As cold as the faucet will let you, and then I'll add, you know, if I'm really into it, I'll add snow from outside or maybe pick up some 5-pound bags of ice at a gas station. And I guess for the audience, this is a relevant story, but when I was drug testing earlier for a new job I had, you know, I read that ice baths are a good way to help detox. And so, yeah, I was taking ice baths every morning.
Anything that you hear from the head shop, anything you read online, why not, right? If it's not Absolutely. Something that's going to, like, roll the dice significantly, add it on.
Yep.
When I was getting ready for my drug test, man, I was drinking just, you know, any kind of vinegar or cranberry juice, anything where there might have been some urban legend of medicinal use, anything at all. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and actually, that's how I met Felix. It was after 2 days after the drug test, and exactly, we were smoking after the gym, and I said, oh, man, I got this drug test. He says, you know, I have to give people drug tests. I got two words, quick luck, quick fix, you know.
Wait, what's it called?
Quick fix.
Quick fix, and is that, like, ready at the head shop around the corner?
They sell it online. It's the quick luck is what I've read is the best, and, yeah, it you can pass anything is what I've heard.
Fantastic.
I went the old school way, and I did the detox and turned it around in 8 days, 9 days, so not bad.
Yeah, I've used Detox 4X, and I forget which cleanse I used last time, but here's my take on it. And I said before I took my current job, I said that I would never work for a company that required their employees to take drug tests. Because if you're not going to require that they take alcohol tests or, you know, any sort of vice, it just seems like too much discrimination. But I told the HR person when I got my job that I will pass your drug test. I will take your drug test. I will pass it because I'm that guy. But please know that I have many uses for cannabis and I will be continuing to use it. So I will pass your drug test, but just know I don't agree with the drug test. So I took my stance, but I still compromised. I feel like I won, but I don't know.
No, you won more than I did. I sold out.
You know, oh, you did?
I passed the test, and of course I went right back to smoking.
But yeah. Well,
they don't need to know that.
The drug test has no significance. Yes, it's federally illegal, which is going to change. There's no way with all the now competent people in political positions across all branches of government, and if you don't like the way I feel, I apologize. It's just going to continue. I think we can make some changes, man.
I think we can.
Cool. And that'll be the last I say about that. I brought you on, Andrew, not just because I love you and I wanted you to be close to me as we're doing the podcast, but I also wanted to talk about, you had some recent success with grain transfer or spawn transfer. And so I wanted the listening audience to kind of hear your lessons learned and, like, what you've done with that, because it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. And I feel odd teaching you anything so far. I saw my first pins this morning, and I was very excited to see that.
That is like it's like seeing the head of your baby. Like I just pop out of a vagina and just show you, hey, I'm here. There will be more of me. Maybe not as significant as the vagina
baby.
You'll
have to verify.
Right. Yeah, I'll get back to you. But yes, congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Anything in particular you want me to focus on?
Yeah. I mean, why don't you talk about like the spawn transfer? Because what I've been doing, and it sounds like you've got a more efficient method. I've been doing just, you know, direct auger, direct spore injection, direct liquid culture, just directly into the spawn and hoping from its infancy it would grow into something. And I've run into a lot of contamination issues. So it sounds like you've got a way for once you've gotten past contamination to now like propagate your mycelium all over the place. Like fucking pharaoh ruler style propagation of sperm, if you will, to other recipients and just kind of like build your legion.
That's how my last batch of jars went. I mean,
just whiteness everywhere.
Yeah, I had a spare jar laying around and it's B plus that I have. And I was actually waiting on my agar solution. So it was kind of just a desperate play of, hey, I want more jars and I don't have syringes and I don't have anything else.
Yeah, agar takes forever.
Yeah, you know, why not use the spare jar I have laying around? And, you know, we did that on the 19th and it just took off. I did it into popcorn. And again, I'm really particular about the sterilization. So my kitchen, you know, and I think the size of my kitchen, it's so small and in just a small apartment. I think that really helps with the airflow. And I go really hard on the Lysol spray. Once the still air box is there, you know, you can just shake up the grains in the colonized jar.
Now it has to be the same grain from source to destination.
Doesn't have to be the same.
Doesn't
grain.
Even
you can
have to
any
be the
kind
same.
Of, yeah, any kind of transfer. So I was doing, rye berries to popcorn.
Awesome.
And you shake it up real good, just like, you know, before you spawn it and, you know, open the jars very carefully in the still air box. I don't use anything anymore to scoop it out. I had some jars that were a little stubborn and I had to do that.
Gotcha.
So in that case, I think you want to take the spoon and be as sterile as you can. But mine was just shaking up the jar, jump maybe a tablespoon into the fresh jar and quickly get the lid back on. And, you know, I'd do 4 or 5 jars in a row.
Sure.
So like the lids they're not immediately back on, but within 20 to 30 seconds.
But you're functioning in a still air box. So,
exactly.
I mean, the extra precaution is awesome, but you still are in a still air box.
In a still air box, wearing an N95 mask,
right,
in a really small kitchen. That's been cleaned.
And when I tell other people, like aspiring growers, new growers, the protocol they should use, I definitely point to you because your model is meticulous and it's working. My model is kind of fly by the seat of my pants and just test shit, which is not the way I would write it down if I were to create a recipe. So kudos to you. Don't look at me as the model for cleanliness by any means.
Yeah, and you know, I talked last time how I was buying pre-sterilized bags and jars online.
Yes.
That's expensive.
It is.
So you don't want to waste those bags, right? So I had to be extra careful. Now that I have my own pressure cooker and I'm cranking out jars just willy-nilly when I have free popcorn laying around, you know, I'm a little bit more carefree.
Sure.
But either way, yeah, and I mean, it took us 9 days for those jars to be ready to escape, and it was half-quart jars of popcorn.
So that to me, and I'm going to start using popcorn a lot more because I looked at the price tag too, and like I was telling you, even though it's less dense by volume, it still seems like a good way to go.
And it smells better. I kind of like the smell when you sterilize it better. And
yeah, the movie theaters are gone. I mean, I guess AMC is making a comeback with the whole stock trading issue. But yeah, you're right. It's nice to have that kind of just remembrance of old times in the movie theater.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. You read online, people are really particular about their methods. Some people really hate on popcorn, and other people are there to defend it.
Okay.
Honestly, people they feel strongly about it, and I don't know if everybody's tried it the right way, but it's a pretty simple and easy method. If I could do it without screwing it up, anybody can.
Yeah, my big thing is if if it's not super expensive, I don't give a shit. If it works and, you know, you have a repeatable method, I'm all in. So it sounds like I can take the rye berries, and because they're smaller, they have, you know, less size to them, they'll fit in between the popcorn kernels nicely. Does that work? Does it like Jenga themselves in there?
Yeah, actually, because I had some of those jars that I bought before I really knew what the heck I was doing here. It looked like a cocoa core type substrate in it at the top of the jars too. And I mean, those things were fully colonized too. And all those tiny little pieces that broke up into the jars probably helped speed that timeline up.
I love it.
And so I think that's going to work real well. And I would also say just shaking it up, just like you do at the 30 to 50% mark, you shake it up, get them all over the place.
Cool. So yeah, for me, I see that. So you go ribery to grow your mycelium and then transfer them ultimately to more jars or more containers of popcorn, let them kind of nestle in physically in between all the kernels. And yeah, their transfers based on what I've seen online, it gets you way past that early point. You can just kind of like rocket fuel to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for impatient people like me.
Fuck. I mean, we're all impatient. Stoners, right? So cool. If you're interested, I did find a video online. These people that do videos online with mushroom stuff, I love them, and I learned a lot from them. But it's like, I don't trust them for anything, except for the guy from Fresh Cap Mushroom. I love that guy, the Canadian guy. Kudos to him. But here's the video I found of a guy doing grain-to-grain inoculation, Alex8721, with 350 subscribers on YouTube. And he talks about, going from grain to grain. Let's see if we can get anything from this video here. It's only here, a few minutes.
This little area here, and also within here, before putting everything in the still air box. So basically with grain-to-grain, you're just using a already colonized jar
just like
of
we said.
Grain to inoculate sterilized grain in jars. So basically what you want...
So we forgot to mention the target has to be fully sterilized. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just take any grain. It has to be completely prepared like you were to put some agar on it or something like that.
Yep.
You're just introducing something different as a vehicle from the mycelium. But it definitely has to be sterilized.
I want to do this as quick as possible. So in the what still I'll do box. Is I'll have everything kind of set up already. See, I pull out the lids. And at this point, you just want to do it as quick as possible. So the less time that, the grain is open to...
All right, so not a whole lot to be learned here. Now, we can't even see this guy's face. I can just see his hairy knuckles. So I don't know if he's, like, super nerdy to look at. I'm sure he's nerdy as a person.
Do you follow Arvin47 at all?
I don't know.
Oh, man, you got to check him out. This kid, he's who I learned a lot from, and... The profile picture on YouTube is Jesus Christ. And
I probably do know. What's his name? Arvin?
Yeah, Arvin47.
There we go. Let's see if I know this guy.
Wearing the shirt in that video.
Hello, everyone. My name is Arvin47. And in this video, I'm going to be showing you how to make your own...
Yep, I've seen this guy. And so the funny thing about this guy is the first thing that comes to mind is there's this comedian named Mitch Patel who uses this like little kid baby voice. And so when I hear your boy Arvin47 talking about mycology, all I hear is Mitch Patel telling a shitty joke. So he already lost me. I had to switch channels immediately. I'm sure he does a great job. I'm going to have to put the captions on to really make it through Arvin 47's presentation.
Yeah, and if you speed it up, it only gets better, so.
All right, so I'll spare the listening audience. I feel as if my voice is a little more soothing than Arvin's at this point. But yeah, hey, if he's educational and he's creating prodigies like you, man, rock on.
Yeah, I've always thought you've had a great podcast voice.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah! Sounds like a good time to interrupt and provide you with a health segment from Wifey Jill. Here we go.
The standout on the podcast. So without you, I'm nothing.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's true.
I mean, I am your better half.
Yeah, no, that's what most people say. That's what everybody says. So what do you have for us this episode? How can you educate us at this point?
We're going to dive into the oyster mushrooms.
The oyster mushroom.
You like that? You dive for the oyster?
Ooh. I didn't pick up on that, but...
I know, that was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, oyster mushrooms. There is a large and wide variety of them.
Okay.
There are different colors, different sizes, different shapes. Personally, we've cooked... some teriyaki mushrooms with the king oyster, which is quite large. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah. That one, as a man, I felt intimidated by the size of the king oyster mushroom.
This one was like the size of a a forearm. I mean, it was quite large.
Yeah, I have some videos that you haven't seen that are cached on my computer that have similar structures.
Oh.
Not mushrooms,
but... Yeah. Right, what's anyway. That meme that goes around?
the big dick guy sitting on the bed?
Yeah, and he's like leaning over. It's kind of about that. It looks like that.
Okay, which is even more scary. If you weren't scared before...
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, that meme. Boy, that guy, posthumously, super famous.
Oh, he's died?
He passed away.
Oh, no.
It's unfortunate. Oh, but R.I.P. we'll all... He will live in our heads forever.
Oh, my God. Seriously. Okay, so king oyster is a variety. There's also pink oyster, golden oyster, blue oyster, pearl, and phoenix. So there's a variety of them, and each one does have a different flavor profile and or cooking preparation. So for instance, the blues and the pinks, the color will fade if you do put it over heat for a long time. So those you can just chop up and eat raw.
Now, just for the listening audience, my experience when I see oyster mushrooms, they're usually growing like, they look like steps growing out of the side of some sort of brick or wood or something like that.
Yeah, they, like in the fairy movies, like movies with fairies that kind of like sit on a mushroom cap that's growing off the side of a, like a big tree.
Yeah.
Like little stepping stones. They're like stepping mushrooms.
Yeah, I mean, it's fungus, so, you know, it mimics a lot of the fungus you'll see on downed trees and stuff in the woods. But they're, the fact that there are so many colors and the fact that they grow in those patterns is pretty unique.
Yeah, and a lot of times they'll grow in clusters. They come in different sizes as to, you know, as whenever you want to harvest them as well. But yeah, you can eat the stem and the cap.
Okay.
Mostly with those king oysters, at least it's like all stem.
I remember the king oyster was pretty tasty.
It was very tasty.
What did you make out of it?
So that one we made some teriyaki mushrooms.
That's right.
So I sliced them lengthwise.
Okay.
So from top to bottom, and I made like long steaks out of them, marinated them in some teriyaki. We grilled them over. A flame and dressed it with some sesame seeds and green onions. And I mean, they're so flavorful.
Really
good. Mushrooms take on a lot of flavor.
And we got them from the Cherry Creek Farmers Market, specifically Gary from Fresh from the Farm Fungi.
Yeah, they have a great variety of oyster mushrooms.
Oh, man.
All the colors.
All of our culinary mushrooms we've purchased from Fresh from the Farm Fungi, other than like normal button mushrooms and portobellos at the grocery store.
Correct, yeah. So talking about some of the nutrition, so a cup serving of these mushrooms is only 28 calories.
Okay.
1 gram of fat, 3 grams of protein, which is pretty high for such a low calorie content.
Yeah.
2 grams of fiber. They're obviously rich in vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, as are other mushrooms, but particularly in niacin, vitamin D, which vitamin D can be very hard to find in food products.
Well, yeah, because if you're not exposed to the sunlight, you have zero vitamin D.
Your body will produce a minute amount,
okay.
But we get the majority of our vitamin D from the sunlight.
Gotcha.
And then iron. It has a lot of iron in it as well.
Now, riboflavin was one that you'd mentioned.
Yeah, so this also includes some additional nutrients. Riboflavin, which is also going to be B2.
Okay.
Potassium, vitamin B6. Folic acid or folate, which is really important when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
I'm learning that.
And
magnesium, vitamin C, some amino acids that are essential for protein growth. Again, all mushrooms are great. So these are just some of the particulars about this one. But yeah, again, additional properties, anti-inflammatory benefits, lowering high blood pressure, boosting one's immunity, anti-cancer properties.
All these are found in that one mushroom.
This one mushroom.
That's pretty cool. So I haven't seen a lot of oyster mushrooms. You know, there are so many different varieties, but I haven't seen them in like a powdered form the same way you'd find like, you know, a chaga or reishi or one of those supplements. So, you know, the best thing about the oysters, they do have good taste. Like I said, for the most part, you know, we know one of them, but the rest are supposed to be tasty. So you don't necessarily have to take it in like an obligatory capsule. You can enjoy the eating experience with the medicinal experience all in one. The combo, the dream.
Yeah, I've not seen oyster in any other form except for fresh, you know, culinary usage.
Yeah.
Even dried, I haven't really seen them all that much in the dried, you know, mushroom category. But yeah, these are pretty easily, you know, available to find. I would say grocery stores, you know, should have at least one variety. The king trumpets in the grocery stores are going to be a lot smaller. I would say that they're probably no more than like 4 to 5 inches long.
Okay.
Where the one we got from the farmer's market was like a 10 incher. I mean, that thing was
again, reverting, with a lot of girth. Reverting back to the trauma that I experienced when I first laid eyes on that king oyster mushroom.
Yeah. I mean, it was the one mushroom. I think we paid $10 for that one mushroom, but it was enough for like a starter for dinner that night.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good meat substitute. You know, I love meat, and I'll never fully substitute my meat, but, you know, that sounded kind of weird. Yeah,
me neither.
Man, I'll tell you, my mind is in just a different, very naughty place. But I will never fully cut out meat. Sorry, vegetarians, I respect you, but I don't want to join you. I like mushrooms, and I like meat, but if I don't have meat, the mushroom is a damn good substitute. The way you prepped the teriyaki king, I mean, that was not meat, but it was fucking good.
And you know, I can send you the recipe and we can link it.
We will link it. And yeah. I do want to mention, while we're on here, mustacheroom.com. We have it up and running. I have episodes. I have transcripts. There's more coming. This thing is like a snowball of fun and education that is coming your way.
Yep. To an ear near you.
To an ear near you. So anything else you want to talk about with oyster? I think we've covered most of the bases.
I think we did a lot. Again, I think, you know, a lot of people realize that, you know, these mushrooms in general, regardless of the variety you're intaking, just a dense amount of nutrients and benefits with it. So get out there, explore. Recipes are easy to find online. And just have some fun with it. And then you're still going to, you know, reap the benefits.
Agreed. Well stated. Well, Wifey Jill, thank you for this segment. And
thank you.
Listening audience, she'll be back. Second flush. So I have some monotubs going. You saw behind in the mustache room here. Bless you. I have some stuff going, and I just finished one of my flushes on my tubs, so it was time for a second flush. So when we talk about flush, let's just make sure everybody knows what we're talking about. That's a sprouting of mushrooms. They kind of happen in these little bunches. So once the bunches are done, that's a flush. You may not get the full tub with every little piece of the tub growing mushrooms, or at least at the same time, but you will see like things will be popping up consistently and then they'll just stop. When they stop, you can let it sit forever and wait for the next flush, or you can accelerate the next flush by submerging the tub in water. And there are a few different ways that people want you to go about it. One way people say is to just put it under running water. But I don't want to be an advocate of water, like, misuse, frivolous use of water. So I've strayed from that method. Basically, I just take my tub, I put it under running tap water. Doesn't have to be any particular type of water. And I get it to where the water fully submerges or fully covers the cake. It's going to start to float. Maybe the mycelium is so grown into your bag, your tub, that it's weighing itself down, but eventually it will float. So the goal is to get it completely submerged underwater, to get the mycelium all covered with water using like some weights, or you can use jars, whatever you can do to keep it submerged underwater. Like, that's the goal. And people say like 8 to 10 hours is a good time frame. That's what I've been doing, you know. Sometimes a little bit longer if I fall asleep and forget to change it or something, but I would say a good target is 8 to 10 hours.
So one question, is it one picking per flush, or do you pick at a few different points based on like maturity of each set?
Yeah, I mean, the goal, and I've discussed it before, you really want to get it like right as the veil opens, but you'll see little pockets. They'll never be just like the whole tub is full of mushrooms, at least in my experience. Sometimes online people have that. They must be using so much spawn. It's just got to be so cramped in there. If you want to use a regular amount of spawn, like a real, you know, couple bags or a couple jars, I can't see you covering the entire monotub in one flush with mushroom.
How many jars or how many quart jars worth in each of these?
I usually use 2 quart jars per tub.
So I purposely plan to go pretty hard on mine.
Yeah.
And I'm planning 5 to 6 typically.
Quarts?
Yeah.
Let's hear how it goes.
I'm really limited on space for the fruiting chambers.
Yeah.
And I see those pictures online, and that's exactly the assumption I had. So even last night when we spawned those, we basically had 10 quarts worth.
Yeah.
And we put that – I got to step back. It was probably 7 quarts.
Okay.
But we split that into two, like, big shoebox type tubs.
Okay.
So they're 20-liter, I believe they are, you know, maybe a foot long and, like, 8 inches wide.
You should get nice tubs.
And that was some white, thick mycelium, too. So, man, my fingers are crossed.
So the way I've been doing it, like, I guess I could be using more – I've been going for more quantity of tubs just for, like, the different tests I've been doing. But, yeah, the way you're doing it, I hope your tub is completely full. And you'll have to report back because with that amount of mycelium in such a small space, it really should blossom.
And like I said, I mean, we live in an 800-square-foot apartment.
Yeah.
So jars fit just fine. I've got probably 70 quarts of grains that are currently inoculated. And we only have space for a few monotubs, you know, one of the half of what you have here. So that's going to be my only option unless you're going to get my jars. So let's see how it goes.
Now, I will gladly use my space to run your tests. Consider me your cohort in the process.
Awesome.
So, yeah, flushes are awesome. Now, when you take it, when you put it in the flush, when you get it, blah, 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 when you're going between flushes, when you're preparing for your second flush, you've got everything submerged. After the 8 hours are up, just, you know, take off the weights or whatever. Take the tub up to the faucet, dump it out. You'll have to hold the cake in place. It'll just slide out. So kind of like tilt it up, put your hand, you know, with a glove on, put your hand on the mycelium brick and just make sure it doesn't slide out as you're dumping out the water. Also make sure if you do use the trash bags that water sometimes will get underneath the trash bag. It'll slip in between the trash bag and the duct tape. So just make sure that you don't leave the water underneath the trash bag if that's what you're doing. Some people just kind of black out the tub, but just make sure the water's not left in there or else it gets kind of gross.
What's your contamination risk like at that point? Is it pretty low?
Yeah, once the mycelium is fully grown, you know, you have less risk of contamination. Like you may see like moldy stuff pop up here and there that's not directly impacting the mushrooms, and mushrooms will still grow. So you're kind of simulating the outdoor climate. So, you know, mold does grow in nature. So I guess it can, you know, cohabitate in the same tub. I try to prevent mold as much as possible. But, you know, because I'm not in a fully sterile environment, things do pop in here and there.
Mm-hmm. And you just use regular tap water. You're not filtering it or any of that.
I always use distilled water to humidify my tubs.
Okay.
So if it's manual with a sprayer or via the humidifier, I always use distilled water. But if I'm rehydrating, I'm not paying money for that much distilled water. And I've read online that it's not necessary. So, yeah. Because I don't want to buy distilled water by the drum. So the tap water for the next flush is just fine.
And I picked up, you told me about the humidifier and using distilled water.
Yeah.
I didn't realize for the spray bottle too. I was using filtered, so I might need to
change that out. People say distilled. Again, all this stuff to me is subjective because I just haven't seen any studies. You know, Mossy Creek Mushrooms is fucking awesome, but they're not publishing, you know, studies at Johns Hopkins on how to grow mushrooms. Yeah. So, bottom line is, your feedback is just as valuable as mine, and we'll meet in the middle and just figure out what works.
Perfect.
Just like in IT, man, create a repeatable process, and you can follow the fucking process.
Yeah.
So we talked about flushes. We talked about spawn transfer. I also want to talk about, I showed you, and I feel like I'm in and out of the mic here, but I showed you just earlier before the podcast what happens if you don't black out certain portions of your mycelium. If you're growing in a monotub or a bag, or in this case, I was experimenting with a jar. If you want to grab that jar, we can describe it to the listening audience. So I have a jar sitting here where my mycelium grew mold on top. So I wanted to see what happened if my jar, even though it had a bunch of mold on top, if I took the mold off and threw some coco coir or some substrate, I should say, coco coir, vermiculite, and gypsum on top, and just let it sit there. So this was from 8/11 initially, from August. And then I probably took it out a couple months ago and said, you know what, let's see what happens. So between the time that I took it out, let's say That's probably sometime in December. Between then and now, I have some mushrooms growing. This is old as shit. That's like, what, 5-6 months old?
Yeah, that sparks the question. Is this the oldest jar you have in here?
I mean, I haven't kept the other ones around because they dried out. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the reason that you're rehydrating your cakes, like we're doing the second flush, is because the cake just can't dry out. If the cake fully dries out, then the mycelium is not as useful, and mushrooms just can't grow from it. So what we're always trying to do is keep the cake hydrated enough to produce mushrooms. And that's why you're providing the humidity. That's why you're, you know, rehydrating between the flushes. If you were using the PF cakes, the PF Tech method, you would have to take those cakes and rehydrate all those cakes the same way. It would just be a smaller footprint that you'd be working with.
Man, I'm waiting on my cakes. They are slow.
Well, I mean, you're experimenting with more than just like B plus and Golden Teacher. I mean, if you're doing B plus and Golden Teacher, those things grow quickly as fuck. Golden Teacher grows, I mean, like weeds. B plus is right there behind it. Sometimes worse. I mean, sometimes better, depending on, you know, how much volume you're working with.
Yeah, I got Blue Meanie in the first set that I did in late December, and they're 70% just creeping their way around. Golden Teacher's already catching up.
Yeah, I mean, so it depends. If you're starting off, totally go with B plus Golden Teacher. But if you're more experienced and, you know, you're expanding your portfolio, if you will, then definitely look, you know, at other ones and just know you have to be a little extra patient if you're going like albino, you know, things like that.
What was your first?
My first one was Golden Teacher. Yeah, Golden Teacher. My first mushroom. Oh, it's a sweet time.
Do you grow much Golden Teacher now?
Yeah, I have it in the mix. PES Amazonian has been, like, I love its potency, and it's really easy to grow. So that, Mazatepec, those have been my favorites, like, off strains that I've been playing with. But I always have Golden Teacher in B+, just because it's an easy win.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that in your
pocket. They're classic for a reason, right?
Yeah. It's like if you have your favorite move, like in jiu-jitsu, you like cinching that up here and there just to know it's in your back pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfect.
So, yeah. So bottom line is, do not make sure that your mycelium is exposed to light in an area that you're not willing to harvest from. And I'm looking at the side of the jar right now. I'm not willing to harvest from the side of the jar. So the mushroom basically hits the wall of the jar and just gets smushed and basically suffocates. So this is really cruel and unusual punishment, what I've done to these poor mushrooms. They're suffocating in their own selves.
Yeah, and these are like 4 or 5 inch mushrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, they're substantial.
They had potential. So as a father, as an aspiring father of more mushrooms, I'm also a future regular father, like human father, but as an aspiring father of more mushrooms, I promise to do a better job in the future and not suffocate my mid-grown mushrooms. R.I.P. So what are your goals, man? Are you, I mean, we're not going to sell them because it's not legal to sell them, but what are your goals long-term with mycology?
Man, yeah, this is an interesting question. Well, first of all, I'm trying to buy a house in the next probably 6 months. And so...
And I do remember you saying that, and congrats in advance.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so looking for a basement like this, use that as a workshop, and I'd like to grow some edible mushrooms too, and just, it's a fun hobby. I really got to say, for anybody out there who's on the fence about it, by all means, give it a shot, and you can kind of tiptoe your way in, and if you don't like it, you can always back out. But I do want to try out experimenting with microdosing.
Yeah.
So having, you know, a stockpile to be able to support that would be
absolutely
appreciated.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and other than that, I think just ensuring that we have a few good weekends, a few good trips here and there. I mean, you know, my fiance is really into it too, and she's been walking the process with me.
Awesome.
So, you know, we did the spawning last night into the bulk substrate, and she's been kind of doing each step of her own jars too. So she's learning it too, and she's having a lot of fun. So
I love it, man.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same thing here. I mean, for me, it's, you know, I'm not trying to grow a drug empire. I mean, if it goes federally legal, then hey, we'll have another conversation. But for me, it's like educating other people on how to, you know, better themselves and how to have a useful, productive hobby. I mean, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and the experimenting is just, it's fun, both on the consumption and on the production, right?
Yeah.
Like, growing different strains takes a little bit different a little bit different recipe each time. And I would say the same on consuming. You know, I've tried your PES Amazonian.
Yeah.
Man, that's fun. That was good. That was a great trip. So,
and I look forward to receiving, some from you as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, that's all the fun of it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like when I was a kid, we would trade Garbage Pail Kids. Garbage Pail Kids were vulgar. People thought they were vulgar, but they were near and dear to my heart.
Now you're trading mushrooms.
We'll keep on keeping on, man. I love it so far. So, yeah, we have the same kind of goals. And I'm going to try to make some chocolates and stuff and so we can have fun with different varieties. But it's just fun to see something from start to finish that you are in complete control over that is making people happy, whether it be you or others.
And it's a lot like jiu-jitsu in the sense that, once you get to the advanced level, there is so much more to unravel than you really think. And just learning, okay, I can get through my first flush. Awesome. That's just step one of putting on the uniform, right? We're talking about genetics and picking out the best of the batch and, making your spore prints and starting fresh and cloning the good ones. And, man, I'm looking forward to that part.
Beautiful jargon. All that beautiful jargon. And as a listener, and if it sounded like gibberish, what came out of our mouths, trust me, get into it. Start watching the videos. Again, I consider this conversation the least nerdy of the ones you're going to find. However, formulate your own opinion. And you'll get all kinds of colorful individuals showing you how to grow mushrooms. And I love it. And they've taught me a lot. I want to mention shroomery.org as what I feel to be the least aesthetically pleasing website of all time. As a grower, you're going to come across this damn website. And my friend Brian, who's an OG of growing, and he's going to be on the podcast. I'm going to give him shit because he always points me to shroomery.org. If you pull up this damn website, it is the most eyesore, if that's a word, of websites.
I am grinning so hard because I actually meant to ask you where you get your content like this. I couldn't agree more about this website.
Dude, somebody's dropping the ball. It's like when you used to use Craigslist and you'd be like, can somebody update the UI for the love of God? All right, shroomery.org. So you're going to go to shroomery.org and there's going to be, I don't even know how to navigate this thing. You can search Augur. All right, so we're searching shroomery.org, and it just has this archaic, it's like Windows 3.1 sort of interface, and you explore, and it's just red background, blue background, white text. I get a headache just reading one sentence of what you'd find on
Shroomery. September 19th, 2006. Right. I can't believe you've actually went to the website. I usually just Google my question, and it's the first option.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I always, when I see shroomery.org, I always look for other alternatives because I know my eyes are about to get tortured.
Do you use Reddit?
Sometimes.
Some of the pages there?
Sometimes. Yeah, there's some good Reddit threads. I personally like the videos because I'm like a five-year-old and I want a picture book. I don't want to read anything. But at this point, I feel like, we can pick and choose. Like, we don't have to get stuck with shroomery.org if we don't want to.
Yeah, and I agree with the videos. That's usually what I do if I want to, learn a specific step in the process or see, a different method. But if I'm just looking to, scroll through something, get some content, and there's people asking really good questions that then I get to benefit from their questions.
Exactly.
And, hey, is this contamination? Hey, what's up with this? And then I check out the comments just so I learn it.
Good strategy. Yeah, so shroomery.org, good luck if that's your information portal of choice. I disagree with it. I think they should up their game, but hey, if 2006 is the most recent post, then maybe their game is no longer existing. Yeah. It's retired, if you will. So one last thing I want to talk about, and I know we're kind of on the same side of this, is it's like people are so pissed off these days. Like, there's so many pissed off people. And I went through a period in my life where I was really pissed off, and it was because I just had a lot going on and I had no way to deal with it. But I feel bad, man. There's just tons of people out there. I'm speaking not specifically of the people that voted for Donald Trump, but there's a whole, half of our nation is pissed off. And I feel like, man, somebody's just got to look at whether it be mushrooms or other things that are shown to provide people happiness that may be stigmatized as wrong because of past generations, inability to explore it further or understand really what benefits it has. But I feel like now's the time. That was the best time of any to try to make that other part of the country a little bit happier.
Totally agree. And it is interesting. You mentioned the AMC stock price recently. when AOC and Ted Cruz agree on something, and that's that these Robinhood apps that shouldn't be restricting some of that activity.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the event that kicks us in the right direction. Hopefully we're turning the corner.
Ted Cruz. If I never hear that name again. But yeah, try to make people happier. So if, I mean, I realize the pharmaceutical companies are the big lobbyists that are, you know, padding the pockets of certain politicians. But if you really care, if you objectively want to help people, you have to look at mushrooms as an alternative solution. You cannot look at ADHD medication and depression medication and anything else that's really governed by pharmaceutical companies as the first alternative. It just can't be that way forever. It's got to change.
And the scheduling of drugs now suffocates any hope.
Yeah.
So I think that's step one, because then we can do research and then we can come out with the benefits. And the same thing with marijuana. I mean, it's,
yeah.
How are we going to learn about it if we can't even study it? And we're never going to move forward. So
yeah,
that's got to be the step one.
All the money that they're spending, like, as to try to thwart the use or the propagation of recreational drugs, it's just, it's a waste of money. There's so many better places to put that money.
How liberating is it to live in Denver, where you can walk around a corner, walk into a dispensary, grab what you want, go home to where you grow mushrooms, and know, hey, nobody's knocking down my door, because none of this is allowed to be prosecuted.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I mean, I'm not saying we need to be Oregon and just legalize everything, because there are certain drugs that are purely used for euphoria and just are habit forming and really should be treated separately. But you can't put any entheogens, anything that's going to expand your mind that doesn't have addictive tendencies and doesn't kill anybody. You can't make that a Schedule I substance. You just can't. So they're going to have to change that.
Yeah. And I always fall back to the thought that I want to know what it's doing, right? And I can't, I smoke it all the time.
Yeah.
I can't learn about it because it's illegal to even study it. So, you know, I'd love to know. But
Here's the way I look at it too. And you can sit and you can read all the books you want. You know, if you really want to be knowledgeable and people want to see you as scholarly, then you read all the books you want, you talk about it, right? But all those are other people's opinions. All those are things coming from other people's heads. If you really want to see what's in your head, you can't read a book. You have to explore it. So you can meditate. You can do yoga. I take baths. You can do a lot of different things. But taking entheogens, taking psychedelics is one of those things. And it doesn't harm anybody. Obviously, if you don't take it in the right set and setting, that's on you. But if you take it with the right intentions, there's absolutely nobody harmed in the process, and all it can possibly do is better you.
And how many times when you watch a bad situation play out, in a social situation, you know, maybe a boss getting mad at the team, or, you know, whatever the situation is, and you can see it so clearly because you're on the outside looking in.
Right.
It is so obvious. And then that's how I feel sometimes when I smoke, and for sure when I'm on mushrooms, where you kind of get that ability to detach, look at yourself from the outside, just as an outsider, and you kind of wake up to some of those realizations of like, oh, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, I had this, I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast, but if I did, I apologize. This is redundant. I was having an issue with my accountant. We had submitted all of the stuff that he asked for our taxes, and we submitted everything. And for some reason, my wife's W-2 didn't make it to the portal that we submit all our documents to. So he just filed everything without her W-2. And then we're getting penalized after the fact because we didn't file her W-2. And I went back and I was like, hey, what's going on here? He's like, well, you didn't give me her W-2. And I'm like, well, when I get an accountant, I want somebody to wipe my ass. Like, I'll give you the baby wipes, but you better wipe my ass because I have no idea what's going on. And so I felt a little neglected by this dude that was like, well, you didn't give it to me, so I didn't file it, even though I have no idea what I'm supposed to do when it comes to my taxes. So I was rationalizing this during a trip, during an experience, and I was like, I can write a really nasty review from this dude as I detach from him, and I can try to make sure everybody knows, you know, that this guy did this to me and it hurt me. But by the same token, I can learn to next time, like, double check myself, and I don't want to ruin this guy's business because he made a mistake. And so I rationalized it that way. But if I would have acted impulsively, I would have wrote a nasty review. I would have detached from this guy. I would have been like, fuck you, and done all that other shit. But I had a chance to step back and look at it objectively, like you said, and I made the more mature, sustainable, agreeable decision, in my opinion. And that was because of mushrooms.
Totally.
So I feel that's a good way to wind down. If you're listening to this and you haven't had an experience with entheogens, definitely, I don't condone recreational use of entheogens until you've really taken it seriously and you understand what you're dealing with. But, you know, make sure you have the right setting, the right set. When I say set, I mean mindset. And if you need somebody to guide you through, go for it. But there's tons of healing to be had by something that is not synthetic, completely natural, and grown by schmucks like us. Yeah, I mean, but from caring, loving schmuck hands, you can get some mushrooms.
And a sitter.
Yeah, shaman, somebody to look after you.
Yeah, at least for the first time.
Definitely.
Do you use one every time?
Not anymore.
Okay.
But at first, you need somebody to tell you it's not going to last forever. I don't care what you formulate in your mind. Not going to last forever. Nobody's ever died from this. You can look, do some research online. Nobody's ever died from this, directly from this. And if you remember those two tenets, then the rest of it can kind of work itself out. But once I had those ingrained in my head and I didn't need somebody to repeat them to me, then I can kind of do it on my own.
Yeah, and just hearing you say that nobody's ever died from this.
Ever.
After we just finished the conversation about the drug scheduling. I mean,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Nobody's ever died from it. It's not addictive. In the tests, I'm sure you heard, like with Michael Pollan and Paul Stamets, the rats don't go back for a second dose. It mm-hmm. doesn't happen. There's your scientific proof.
Mm-hmm.
Not alternative facts, right? These are not Fox News dissemination. This is pure facts. So we're going to wind this down. Think about that. If you're unhappy and your antidepressants are not working for you, or they're just dulling the pain, there's an opportunity to actually look inside yourself and have a more sustainable solution.
Totally agree.
Andrew, thank you so much for being here, man.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
This is not the last time you will hear from Andrew. Out.
Walk with me.